We've been talking the last few weeks about the kingdom of God. And I don't know whether you've given it a thought between Sundays. I have to tell you that I haven't stopped thinking about it. I think I'm probably dreaming about it. And partly because as we, Graham spoke to us a few of us before Christmas saying this is what he felt like he needed to start this year off. It took me right back to the very beginnings of who I am in Christ. And I realised that the very early church, in terms of Ashwood Church, that was called a Free Church in the very beginning. Oh, it's had so many names. I can't remember where I started. I think it was the Free Church when I started. Actually, what we were taught from day one, it feels like, is that I'm part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God is around me. And I go and lay hold of it. And I do it. And I be it. And I am it. And I don't know what else it. And so as Graham sort of put that thought in my head, it just started buzzing. So actually, I had a slight problem coming to start preaching because I had so many thoughts, which I know I often say, but I did. I had so many thoughts. But as I was pondering these and looking at some scriptures about the kingdom of God, I really felt God showed me the place I needed to start. And that's in John 3. And if you've got your Bibles, you could just read it with me. Although I'm only going to read a little bit there. But I always think, I find it really helpful when reading scripture that to read it as it's been read to you, to see it on the page. I'm one of these visual people, so if you ask me where a verse is, I might not be able to tell you the chapter and verse, but I can often go, well, it's about a third of the way through the Bible on the second, partway down the page, and therefore I can go and find it. And it's because I've got a visual picture of it, as well as the words in my head and a sort of sense in me. And so I think if you can use your senses to read the Bible, it's really helpful. So that's one of the reasons why, if you've got your Bibles, read it, because then you can go back and find it later. Anyway, that's not what I was going to say this morning at all. There was a man named Nicodemus, starting at verse 1 of chapter 3. He was a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replies, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. And I read that, and it was this thing about you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And I actually really felt that God was asking me this morning to help us all to see how we enter into the kingdom of God and what that means when we enter into the kingdom of God. Because actually, if we haven't got that firmly fixed in us, an understanding both in our head, our heart, our spirit, our body, then actually the next few weeks are not going to make much sense to us. Having said that, what Jesus said to Nicodemus was, you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So I've got a little tricky job this morning. So bear with me. But actually, I think it's because being born of the Spirit, you can't see it. You know, you can see, you know, Abby's about to give birth at the back there. And, you know, those of us who've known she's been pregnant has... Not this minute, sorry. Just... Preparations are happening, but it's not quite... I'm trusting you're not going to do it here. Although it's very exciting. But, you know, we've been watching her, some of us, from the moment she said she was pregnant. You know, blossoming and blooming and growing and just beginning to change her thinking, changing her attitude to things, changing her outlook, changing her house, her bedrooms, painting, you know, collecting things together. And in a bit, we're going to see that baby. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not quite so easy because we haven't got a thing in front of us. We can't get hold of it. We can't see that baby growing, can we? We can't see that baby once it's arrived. So I'm going to try today to sort of help you. And I just really want you to open your spirits up to God and receive something that I'm going to try and share with you. But don't receive it from me and the words. Receive it from the Spirit of God, which is the bit that we need to be, because we need to be born of the Spirit. So it's the Spirit that needs to share with you this morning. And that's not an excuse for me not doing a good job. But I hope, but maybe if I haven't done as good a job as I might like to do, the Holy Spirit will have done its job for me. So we can work in tandem. That's team, isn't it? So as well as this particular verse that talks about being born again. There's a couple of other verses that are up there that I just came across as well about the kingdom of God. And Jesus actually says in Mark that we need to come to him as children. We can only enter the kingdom of God, he says, as children. And there's something about children that means we come with simplicity, we come ready to learn, and we come dependent. And I think that's some of that, being born of the Spirit. And actually, it's quite contrary to the world's way, which says you have to be independent, you know, deal with yourself. You don't have to learn anything from anybody else. And life's complex. Well, that's how I feel sometimes, the world tells me. So actually, have that in your minds too. He also says, a little bit after that bit about being children, he says that if you're rich, and particularly if you value your riches, the things you have, we might say the stuff, which John will get cross at me at, but the stuff we have around us, actually, if we value that too greatly, we cannot enter the kingdom of God, it says. And that's quite strong. It's not just you'll have trouble. You know, he uses cannot enter the kingdom of God. So one of my questions this morning is, are there things that might stop you from entering the kingdom of God? I don't want to dwell there because I've got lots of good things to tell you about, but I think it's worth asking that question at some point of yourself and just seeing what God says to you, and he will. We need to remember that when we're being born again, that God is spirit, and that's partly why we have to be born again, because we're here with bodies. God isn't a body. He hasn't a body, or he didn't have until Jesus came. But he hasn't got that body now, so God's spirit. John the Baptist talked about coming in, and I haven't got my verse written down here, I'm sorry. But he talked about, I baptize in water, but the one who comes after me, who I will baptize in water, he comes to baptize in the Holy Spirit. And so again, we're getting away from this sense of being a Christian or entering into the kingdom of God is not, or is, about being spirit and about receiving a spirit. It's not about our intellectual ability or an intellectual response. It's not about an emotional response. It's not a physical response. It's something that's got to come. And therefore, I can't teach you how to do that. I just can't. I can tell you how I do it, but you know me, those who regularly hear, I am me. And I have particular ways of responding. I have, you know, and that's not how we all respond, is it? Peter talks in Acts 2, when he comes to the end of his preach on Pentecost, and he's told the people there the good news and how Jesus has come to be the one. And then he says, and God gave Jesus the Holy Spirit so he could pour it out on us. And this is what he needed to do. Repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and even to the Gentiles. And I'll try and speak a little slower. My words are tumbling out. And there's some of the things that are said about this sort of entering in. There are things we have to do. So I just want you to just think about, go to the beginning of John, the first chapter of John. What do we need to do to be born again? And if we read John chapter 1, and the beginning of this is talking about the Word. It's words we know quite well, most of us. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is Jesus. And so then it goes on to talk about what Jesus came to do. And it says Jesus came into the very world he created, verse 10, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, but even they rejected him. But to all who believed him, accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They're not reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And here again, we have that sense of being reborn. But I don't know if you heard in there what we have to do. Shall I read it again, just in case you missed it? But it says in verse 12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And I think I'm right in saying, although I haven't got it right in front of me, the message says something like, to all who believed him, believed in who he was and what he'd done, and is that right? Have you got it there, Matt? Oh, we haven't got it there. Sorry, just let me see, because it's rather good when how it just puts it. Of course, I haven't written it that bit down. I've written every other verse down. Never mind. You have to go away. Look at it when you get home. But it's this this sense of to be born again. What we have to do is we have to believe in who Jesus is and who he was, what he did, and what he came to do. We have to accept him. We have to receive him, it says in the RSV. That's my the version I learnt it in. To all who received him. That's, take him in. He gave the right to become children of God. So ask yourself today, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in who he is, what he did, what he came to do? Have you received him into you? Therefore, I would say, you are born again. You could look happy. Sorry? Yeah, there you go. Thank you. But whoever did want him, who believed he was, who he claimed, and would do what he said he would do, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. Thank you very much. Nice being a team, isn't it? And I think that is just a phenomenal thing, because we live in a world that tells us we have to do this, we have to do that. To be successful, we need to have achieved this, to have achieved that. To be somebody, we have to have a title and a name and we have to have, as Steve said, the right car, the right face, the right, address, the right this, the right that. But actually, to be a child of God, it is so simple. We have to believe him and receive him. And then we go on to, with what Peter said in Acts about when he said, repent of your sins, turn to God. The next part of it is, he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And so we receive forgiveness as we accept Jesus. And there's something about receiving him that we get the forgiveness alongside. It's part and package. And then there's a lovely verse in 1 John 3. This is the other thing we get. Sorry, I'm taking you around your Bibles. I'm not sorry. I am very pleased I'm taking you around your Bibles. I'm sorry that you have to keep flitting because it's slightly confusing, but it's great to read these things, isn't it? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, those who've been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. And this word life, it says, the Greek word for that life is seed. It's sperma, meaning seed. And it's saying that in Christ, God has placed his DNA in you. His genetic code has been put in you. And God is love. So he's put his love inside us. He's put his life inside us. And so we have these things happen. So we've done our bit. Now God's doing his bit. He's putting his seed inside you. And I think that's worth a quick bit of woo-hoo! Sorry, on the CD for that one. But I can't get over it. I just feel like we've got to let it out. Because otherwise you just go, yeah, okay, thank you very much. Yeah, that's okay. Now, I hope you're going to get excited on the next bit. Because after I got to that bit, I began to think, well, God said to us, we need to believe, we need to receive, and he puts his DNA inside us. What else, I began to think, does he give us? Because the emphasis, again, on the world is we have to do, we have to do, we have to do. But it strikes me that when we become a child of God, we don't have to do, we have to be. Don't we, Adrian? We talked about this the other day. It's dead exciting. And so I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to do a whistle-stop tour, literally a whistle-stop tour. I'm not going to open my Bible particularly in many places because there's just too many things to think about. But each of these things I'm going to say to you are God's gift to you. If you go and read your Bibles, and I'll send this out to life group leaders, and I will put these verses in the Ashford News next week, so you can go and read them. But you read them. None of the verses I put up here have any catch, have any request, have any demand on you other than you have been born again, that you have received Jesus into your life. Now, there's lots of other things, lots of other instructions, lots of other things that we can find in the Bible that say you must do this, you must do that, don't do this, don't do that. But today, I just want you to think about what God has given you as a child of God. Okay? Yeah? Okay, so here's the whistle-stop tour. He's identified us as his own. He said, if you go and read in Ephesians 1, which is a fantastic chapter to go and read, and if you don't do anything else, go and read it again. Read it and take it in. He said he's his own. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the inheritance he has for us. Staying in Ephesians, oh no, Ephesians 1, yeah. We receive this life. God dwells in us and he gives us eternal life. Absolutely, isn't it? We become a child of God. That means you're part of God's family. It actually says in Ephesians 1, we're adopted into his family. So actually not one of you sort of scraped in as a mistake. Not one of you was scooped up as he went, oh, I'll just have that lot in Kirkby. And, oh dear, I've got so-and-so in that. Never mind, okay. He went, I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you. And I'll have you, and you're welcome, and you're welcome. So if you ever hear the lie that you're not part of God's kingdom, you go and read John or Ephesians. And you've got it. You've got it if you've done those two things. God's love is lavished upon us because we are a child of God. Oh, I love that word, lavished. It's not a little bit, is it? It's a lot. It's a, if I'm allowed to say it, it's a hell of a lot. It was a heaven of a lot, perhaps is a better expression. But you know what I mean? It's a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. It's not a little bit. It's lavished. It's just, how can it be? I haven't got this one up here, but Romans 5 says we've been made right with God through Christ, and we have been given peace. No catch. We've been made, become a friend of God. No catch. The power of sin and death is broken, and we've been given eternal life. You need to go away and listen, read those verses, because the power of sin and death has been broken. It has no hold on me any longer. Because we've stepped into Christ and we're now a child of God, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're not at the bottom of the pile in the corner of the room left out in the car park. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That ought to deserve a yes. I know you're doing it with me, but I just like a bit of... And actually, do you know, when you do it and you shout it, you feel it twice as much.
Yes!
Thank you. And I've told you this before, but Adrian and I, when we go bodyboarding in Cornwall, we have an agreement that as we're riding the waves, and if we do it together, it's even more fun, but when we ride the wave, we have decided that it's far, far more enjoyable if you scream as you're going down the wave. Okay? Partly because we actually feel like the sense of pleasure and excitement comes out as you're screaming, you let it out, you don't just hold it in. But actually the really fun bit is when you watch everybody else in front of you jumping out of the way as you're coming down, because they think you're screaming to say, get out of our way, and we're just screaming out of sheer excitement. But it's just good fun. But there's something about when we did that, began to do that, I began to see that sort of link with letting out our excitement, speaking out our thankfulness, letting out that joy inside us, that actually somehow just doubles when you go, yes! And it triples when you do a whoop that I won't do again for the benefit of the CDs. And I know you're not all like me, so I'm not expecting you all to leap up and down quite like me, but I would encourage you to find your expression of yes, and you do it your way. Okay, get on, otherwise I'll never finish. Another one we have confidence and boldness to enter the throne of God. He says, through our faith in Christ, we have confidence and boldness to enter into the presence, into the throne of God, right into the very presence of God. Again, you're not left on the outside. We're not controlled any longer by our sinful nature, because the Spirit of God in us has control. Now, we'll just put a little proviso. We don't always allow the Spirit of God to control us, do we? But that's another matter. But actually, we have, the Spirit has now control if we allow it. It's about grace, not works. I think I actually took that out of my PowerPoint, but that we've become a citizen of heaven. There's no place, nothing that can separate us from the love of God, except perhaps us, I think. I think I'm the one that stops me from receiving. And Romans 8, verse 31. I will open my Bible and read it from here, because this is just exciting. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, that's you and me, he called them to come to him. And having called them, that's you and me, he gave them, that's you and me, right standing with himself. That's you and me. And having given them right standing, he gave them, that's you and me, his glory. I'm sorry, I'm going to read it again, because you can you not just... am I just, you know, a little bit... I know I am loony. I am slightly mad. But is there an excitement in you over it? Having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Yes. There's no hope for you lot, is there? No, there is. There's lots of hope. Lots of hope. Ephesians 2, God saved you by grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Romans 3, for everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. I can't underline it. You know, well, I could go on all day, because actually I've only picked a few of the scriptures that say these things. But I'm saying them, and I'm not apologising for saying it over and over again, because it is good news. We talk about, we've got good news to take out of church, the circle of church, into the community. And this is it. The good news is that we don't have to do anything other than believe Jesus and receive him, and therefore receive the Holy Spirit. And therefore, that has got to be good news, and it's got to be good news in this world where we're so marked by so many things and judged by so many things. And actually, I really feel that we need to together deal with the lie that we all live with to some extent or other. Now, many of you have dealt with the lie that I'm about to say to some extent, and we deal with it every day. But I know we do. You know, I certainly do. And the lie is that we have to we have to do in order to be in the kingdom of God. We all suffer from it, and I don't care whether you tell me now you don't, because I know you do, somewhere along the line. And whether you think it, do it, walk it, whether you stamp on it every so often, we do, because there's a conditioning from us. And so all these things I'm saying to you because I want you to go away and go, God has given me these things, and I am a child of God. Free to be, free to live, as the song goes, isn't it? And okay, there are then some things that then come on afterwards. But actually, all those things that come on afterwards come because we're children of God and because we want to serve and love our God. And therefore, then he says, the best way is to follow these instructions, to not do some of these things, to take on board some of these attributes. So does that make sense? I can hear it makes sense. So what I really felt I wanted to do was I wanted us to do what we've done in the Freedom of Christ course. And I want us to renounce a lie and announce the truth. Because so often I feel that we stand up here and I say these things and you all go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you walk out that door and you still believe in the same lie that you believed when you walked in, when you sat here listening to me telling you all these things. Because it's ingrained in you. And actually that the word that Peter said about we have to repent and be baptized, this word repent means we have to change our way of thinking. And so if you're going to really take hold of this and live in the truth of this, we've got to deal with the lies that stop us. Because actually, I can tell you all these things. We can sit here and say, yeah, that's good. We walk out the door, something happens, I'm not good enough, God doesn't love me anymore. Or God won't really look at me. Or God can't possibly help me here because I'm not important enough. I'm not intellectual enough. I've done too many bad things. But no! No! God said to all who believed him, who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay, so we're going to renounce the lie. And I've put some lies up there that I came up with. Of that you might say, there's some of those that I say, because I listen to this lie all the time. Well, not all the time. The lie's there all the time. It is there all the time. It's fed into us. But you have to choose to believe it or not. So some of the lies I've put up there, you're not important enough. You're not lovable. You're too bad. You're not intelligent enough, and I'm not intelligent enough to say it. Not good enough, not done enough. But you, I want you to think, what is it that you use as your excuse? What is the lie that you listen to that stops you receiving God's love, God's life, God's blessing? Just take a moment to think. Because I don't want to put words in your mouth. And they've got to be your words. And I don't care what they are. But I want you to engage with this because this is about you and God. Now, we're going to speak out together this. I renounce the lie that I'm not important enough, which is one of the ones that I struggle with, and that I'm not good enough for all sorts of things. For God to notice me or to give me good things. Now, those are the words I put up there. But again, if you want to put your own phrase of where you feel you're not receiving what God's got for you, it might be just to receive that I don't receive God's love, or God can't possibly love me. Put in your words, but I'm just giving you some outlines. And then if you can go to the next slide, John. Then I want us to announce together some truths. And again, I've put some words up here that I hope make sense to you. I'm going to announce the truth, and I want you to announce it with me, that God so loved me that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die in my place. Place. So that he could adopt me into his own family. And that brought him great pleasure and delight, and still does. And I think you need to remember that, because it wasn't that he liked it in the first place, and, oh, you've been a bit of a disappointment since. Which I'm sure we could all go, I've been a bit of a disappointment since. But he doesn't. God still is delighted to have welcomed you into his family. He still looks at each of you. And I wish I could go around and say it to each of you personally. So he still takes pleasure in having you in his family. And you can say that to yourself. God takes pleasure, takes delight. I'm taking a long time over this, but I just feel you need to hear it. Then, the next bit, I gladly embrace the truth that I am now a child of God and I am unconditionally loved and accepted. Unconditionally means without boundaries, without restrictions. He's going to give you his love, whatever. And that means if you mess up, he still loves you. If you mess up, it might stop some of the flow, but actually he still loves you. So it's unconditional. I know it's not what I do that determines who I am, but it's who I am that determines what I do. Does that make sense? Are you happy to do that with me? Now, if you're happy to say those things with me, we'd like to stand. And if you can't stand on the outside of you, stand on the inside. Because I don't, you know, if you're standing is tricky. But I just really feel that we want to nail this. And I would tell you also that as you say this today, something's going to happen. Because you're telling the enemy to butt out. And you're saying to God, yes, I want all that you've got for me. And if you've never, ever actually received Jesus, you can do that as we're praying this prayer. Because actually you can renounce the lie that I'm not in the kingdom of God. And you can announce that I am now in the kingdom of God because I have believed Jesus, I'm receiving him, and I'm stepping into the kingdom of God today. And we'll have another whoop if that's you. Okay, so let's. I'm going to stand here because I am doing this with you. I am not instructing you. I'm leading you because I don't need to do this myself. Can we go back to the I renounce? Thank you. So if we do this, if we just say, you quietly say in that bit, in where the dot is, whatever your lie that you want to declare before God today is. And we'll use these words, but if in your head you want to use some different words, that's fine. Okay, so let's go. I renounce the lie that I'm not important enough for God to notice me or to give me good gifts. Can we move on? I announce the truth that God so loved me that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die in my place so that he could adopt me into his own family. And that brought him great pleasure and still does. I gladly embrace the truth that I am now a child of God. I am unconditionally loved and accepted. I know it's not what I do that determines who I am, but who I am that determines what I do. Amen. Amen. Well done. Now, I will tell you that this week you're going to hear the lie, probably more than you did last week because you've said that. But when you hear the lie, you can just go, that's a lie. I know it's a lie. And I am welcoming the truth that I am a child of God. Now, some of you might find you do have to do it 20, 30, 40 times this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Some of you might not find that at all. But if you do, just go, yes, the enemy's been defeated. As I speak out those words, the lie is going because I'm claiming those words. So, and it's receiving the truth, accepting the truth, putting the truth in your head and dismissing the lie. You sit down. I'll tell you a little story and then I will shut up. A lady, I've just been on a conference, a Freedom in Christ conference. So I've had this freedom for 2 days, which is probably why I'm as hyper as I am. But one of the ladies was saying that she's always had a real fear of enclosed spaces to the point where she couldn't go in the lift. And that was a particular thing she said. And she said as a teenager, she went with her friends. They were going out for dinner and she completely forgot about this fear. And so she was swept into the lift to go to this restaurant and suddenly realised as the doors closed that she was in this lift. And oh, my goodness me, I can't handle this at all. So when the lift door opened, she passed out and fell out the door. So they then had to carry her down the stairs because they couldn't put her back in the lift and take her home because she was in such a bad state. And she could never understand this until one day her mum told her that when she was about 3 or 4, she'd got the sheet on the bed wrapped around her head and neck so hard that actually she was almost suffocating. And suddenly it made sense that actually there was a physical reason, a trauma that had caused this. And so when she was going through the steps to freedom as part of the course, she actually renounced the lie that she would die in an enclosed space and announced the truth that God was looking after her. She then told us the end of the story, which was that a little while after this, she knew that she would have to step into a lift at some point because that was part of renouncing the lie and taking hold of the truth. And so she'd been with a lady who was from a care home in a wheelchair who lived on the first floor of the care home. So she decided that she would take this lady home, which she didn't normally do. And she said to this lady, I've had this problem, I have prayed it, so I'm coming in the lift as part of my stepping out of this issue. So she got in the lift and the doors closed and started to go up. Within a few seconds of it going up, the lights went out, the lift stopped. Immediately, I mean, you can imagine she was panicking. She said, I was sweating. I was absolutely in trauma. And this woman, who she said is a godly woman, just kept talking to her and talking to her. 20 minutes they were in this lift with no light stuck between the lift. And anyway, eventually this lift got up and she got up to the next floor and she walked out of the lift, took this lady home, back to Earth thing. And then she says, because I knew the lie had been defeated, I got back in the lift and went down the stairs. And she says, I've never, ever had another issue again. And so when we are renouncing the lie, declaring the truth, it feels a bit clinical perhaps in here. But I'm telling you, when you have that lie come again, when something happens and you go, oh, here we go again, that didn't work on Sunday. That's why I say, go yes, when you have it this week. Because you've got a chance to announce the truth, take hold of the truth, and walk with the truth. So I think that's me done.